At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And today we're bringing on a new guest, Dr. Katie Deming, MD. And Katie is the conscious oncologist. She was a radiation oncologist, inventor, TEDx speaker, who is transcending the boundaries of conventional and integrated medicine to evolve the current paradigm of disease prevention, treatment, and healing. She blends conventional medicine with holistic practices and ancient wisdom to address the hidden roots of disease and activate the body's innate capability to heal. When I first came across Katie's work, I was really excited to have you on the show because I love it when I get to meet with people that have a really good foundation in what we know as conventional medicine, but have also really started to open up the perspective to see all of the other layers that are often involved in really true healing, I think, at the heart of it. And I think we're still constantly just evolving and learning more. And in many ways, I think learning what we actually, that we don't know a whole lot. And to me, that's the impetus to stay really open to what else does work and what's my personal experience showing me. So Katie, I'm really happy to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Jason. It's my pleasure to be here.
So maybe we can start off. I would love to hear, what exactly is a conscious oncologist? I think a lot of people realize that oncologists are doctors that have worked with cancer patients. But what do you mean by a conscious oncologist?
Sure. Well, this actually just comes to the approach that I'm using, that I'm calling conscious oncology, that comes from the idea that actually all healing is based in consciousness. And so my practice is a holistic practice that focuses on six areas that are basically nutrition and supplementation, water, physical practices like grounding, sunlight, detoxification with sauna, emotional healing, power of mind, both subconscious and conscious mind, and then spirituality. And really my understanding is that not any one of these things alone is what heals us, but if we can help someone clear out the toxicity and dial in these different areas, that their body will naturally start to heal. That if you can line people up, and for me, I've chosen these six areas to help as like a, you know, focus to make sure that we're covering all these bases. If you can help people get cleaned out and aligned, their body really will naturally start to heal. And that is what my practice is all about. It's not about any specific diet or specific treatments. It's about helping people start to nourish their bodies with the things that are nourishing and detoxify the things that are basically contaminating their body. And when you do that, that is what allows people to heal. And cancer, I believe, is really, we've just come into an imbalance, right? We've got more toxicity than we have a healthy functioning in the body. And I see my job as helping people restore that balance back so that their body can heal.
Mm-hmm. It's such a funny concept, isn't it, that we actually have this innate healing capacity, that the body knows how to heal. I always think it's so funny. It's like, you know, we don't question it when we cut ourselves that the cut's going to heal. We really don't. It's like we take it for granted. We know if we have certain injuries, the body naturally responds and heals it up, and we don't really think about it. But certain conditions, when we don't see them quite so clearly, or they're on the inside, I feel like a lot of people struggle with this idea that the body does know how to actually heal. There is this innate healing capacity. And most of the time, the job's really, how do we get the obstacles out of the way that are impinging on that are kind of preventing the full expression of health? What have you found then? Maybe we can break those pillars down a little bit. What have you found to be some of those big blocks then that usually get in the way, that are putting like a kink in that natural healing flow that allows the body to start to heal?
Sure. Well, before I share the major things that I think are the obstacles, one of the analogies that I like to use in thinking about this idea that you described, when you cut your hand, and we don't even think about that, we naturally heal and everyone takes that for granted. But if you think about a diabetic doesn't heal, right? So here is someone who has excess sugar in their body that is basically preventing their body from healing. And it's like that with every other disease. There's something that's getting in the way. And so with cancer, those things that I see as coming up, and it can be varied, right? So I think cancer is a disease of the modern lifestyle. If you take, for example, the work of Weston A. Price, who looked at in the 30s, he went and he found traditional people who had not been influenced by Western influences yet, and he looked at their diet and the way that they lived. Those people didn't have cancer. They didn't have chronic disease. But when you introduce then the Western influences, then they start to have the same diseases that we have in mental illness and the rest of it. And so I really see cancer as a result of the way that we're living overall. And there's so many different pieces that can get in the way of our body's ability to heal. And some of the things that I've learned since stepping outside of Western medicine and into a more holistic practice is emotions are a big piece of that. You know, both emotional trauma from the past, and then also emotional events that happen, you know, very close to a diagnosis. We have data from the ACE study looking at children who have a higher number of traumatic events in childhood, called ACEs, or adverse childhood events, having a higher incidence of cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. You know, there's this correlation between trauma and illness, but we don't talk about that. I was never taught anything about that in oncology. And that's a big one. And so it's not only helping people release past trauma, but also becoming more fluent with their own emotions so that they're not suppressing and they're able to deal with their emotions in a healthy way and move through them. You know, so emotions is one piece of that. I think the way that we're eating overall is impeding our ability to heal. So, you know, the work of Otto Warburg shows that cancer is a metabolic condition, and that our diet and our lack of movement is a problem, and actually probably the timing of the way that we're eating and everything, but basically that you can address this by addressing someone's diet. So addressing diet and also movement is an important piece of that. But then also the other piece, like speaking from a spiritual perspective, is that sometimes when we're just out of alignment with who we are, why we came here, who we are authentically, when we're living someone else's life, we're living the life that we were taught to by our families or our teachers or, you know, the people that we looked up to, sometimes we just start doing things and we don't even realize till way down the line that we're completely out of alignment with who we are. This is also something else that can get in the way of us healing, and it can make us sick.
I think that's such an important one. And I found the same thing in many cases. You know, we had an interview quite a while back, and the speaker was talking about, this is, I think, in our, can't remember which series this one was in, might've been in the Life, Death, and Beyond series. But one of the big things that came up was the idea of this concept of the true self, right? And the idea that how it was explained, and I thought this made so much sense, because he said, and this was a metaphysics teacher, and he was talking about how the body, the DNA, the cells, are really designed to receive information from our source connection. And as soon as we are not receiving information from the source connection, we're receiving it from the ego mind identity, the false sense of self, the false sense of beliefs, and all of the different things that go along with that, that creates a distortion, and then illness basically sets foot, and it can kind of go from that point. So at the heart of it, it was like, the more that we can connect back to who we really are, and then listen to that and operate in the world from that place, that probably sets the stage for healing to really sort of open the doors up. And I think, like, when we do that, a lot of the other ones fall in place, because I often think of that as being the more higher up, more abstract field. And when that's taken care of, usually then we do start to make different choices with our diet. It's not like we're trying to, I mean, most people, I think, intellectually know on some level certain foods that maybe aren't great for them. I mean, there's nuances with sensitivities and whatnot, but, you know, it's more like, okay, why aren't we doing it? What's kind of getting in the way? And a lot of times there's a lot of layers of mental, emotional pieces that are usually playing into why we don't follow certain things. So that made a lot of sense to me with that. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we are, what we're doing in the world and what we know to be true are out of sync, I think we set the troubles up in many ways. And we see that. And it's just more like having an honest reflection sometimes on how we're living our life. And, you know, most people know if they slow down a little bit and just check in, you can see where you're out of alignment.
Absolutely. And one thing that I want to add to that idea that you just brought up, that, you know, consciousness kind of supersedes this, like if we can connect with our higher self, then it makes the other pieces easy, which I agree with. But I also think that we are so inflamed and so full of toxins that that connection is challenged by the practices that we're doing. So actually our diet can be a problem that if you don't help someone start to clear it out, they actually can't make that connection. And also with the toxic emotions, that our higher self is pure love, right? And so this is like, I love Anita Mirjani's near-death experience. For your listeners who may be not familiar with her, she's someone who had lymphoma, basically died of lymphoma and kidney failure, had a near-death experience, came back into her body, and after connecting with her higher self and realizing who she was, she knew she was healed, all the tumors melted away, and she just walked out of that hospital. And this is an example of showing that that connection with your higher self or higher levels of consciousness is healing, and it can facilitate the healing. But so that's an example that happens. But of course, she had this, you know, metaphysical experience of a near-death experience. But the same thing is possible. But I actually, the thing that I'm finding is that sometimes you do have to start with the habits and the practices to start to help people unload that backpack of toxic emotions they've been carrying around and clear out their diet so that you can start to facilitate that communication. But you're absolutely right that once that communication is made, it's much easier to do the things because you're doing it out of love. When you realize that you are not this body, that you are, you know, one with everything and what's true is pure love, you start to treat your body as this sacred gift that you've been given for this period of this timeline. And so I think both of those are true, but I think one actually facilitates the other.
I think of it a lot of times just like a big circle. It's almost like wherever you kind of start the process, you get in somewhere, you will impact the other pieces of it. It's like when people do and ultimately it's like, what are you drawn to explore? I think some people are really drawn to first, they want to change their diet. Some people want to work with emotional pieces. It's sort of like honor where you're kind of coming from. And then from that point, usually the other pieces start to open up to some point too. It's like, you'll see when people do a cleanse, you know, when people do just a simple cleanse or a liver cleanse or an elimination diet or something along those lines, usually they start to get more energy. They start to think more clearly. They see the world a little bit more differently. And then that again opens up the door for different pieces of it for sure. When you're thinking about some of the physical pieces like that can assist with people, what are some of the things that you found are really important physical pieces to bring in, either to remove that are causing excess toxicity or things to bring in to support that process?
Sure. Well, I think that we are living out of connection with our natural environment. And that is one of the most important things, is reconnecting with the planet that we live on. So we are human beings living on planet Earth, and having people going out in the sun, you know, not only for vitamin D, so getting the sun on your skin, but also the light. So getting the morning light, the red light, and the evening light. And, you know, the impact of circadian biology on the way our body functions is very, very important. So connecting with the sun, connecting with the earth, grounding, or using a grounding mat if someone is not able to get out and put their feet in the earth every day, or both. Like for me, I ground and I have a grounding mat on my my mattress as well. So that's, you know, those are some of the things that I talk about with people, of the physical practices that are really important that we've just lost. It's just simple too, and it's free. It's like, these are things that we were just designed to do that we've gotten away from with modern lifestyle, but recognizing that our bodies are really designed to have those inputs, and that your body will function better if you get them, is really important. And then in terms of things to eliminate or avoid, you know, I think looking at your lifestyle and looking at the stress and looking at your relationships, the toxic relationships, really starting to make decisions about what is it in my life that is, you know, not nourishing me with healthy nutrients, but more toxicity, and eliminating those things. And then, of course, there's, you know, the non-EMFs and 5G and all of that. But the thing is that we never can actually fully shield ourselves from all of those things. Like, even if you wanted to like turn off your Wi-Fi and all of this, we're bombarded. Our whole planet is surrounded by satellites, right? So you can't get away from that completely, but you can do things to fortify yourself. So grounding is an example of basically connecting with the earth as a way to protect yourself from those EMFs. Drinking water that is like spring water, you know, and is basically not only filtered, but balanced with minerals, energized and structured appropriately, is also protective. So for me and my clients, because one of the things that happens with people who get cancer is they start to get paranoid about the world. They're like, oh my goodness, everything is toxic. And potentially it's true. We are surrounded by toxicity, but I tell them it's not about changing the whole world and everything that's happening and totally cocooning yourself. It's learning how to fortify yourself so that you can tolerate some of these toxicities that we are exposed to.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I often have that similar conversation. It reminds me of a story where they were talking about, it's like if you ended up on a planet and the entire planet was like rocky, sharp rock everywhere, and you're thinking that the solution is that you need to literally cover the entire planet in rubber, right, to protect yourself from it. And then they're saying, or you could put on a pair of shoes, you know, with good soles on it. And I often think about that. Because I do think a lot of times it can get depressing when you start to look at the amounts, whether you get into the, you know, the glyphosate in food or the increases in EMF and the pollution in the air and the water. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that ultimately I think needs to be corrected because we've gone so far out of alignment with nature. But what can you do to build your own resilience? You know, that's kind of the first step. And all of these layers that you're talking about, in my mind, they're just all different layers of building resilience, you know, physical resilience, emotional resilience, mental, spiritual resilience. I think the more that we have those things dialed in, we interact with those things differently. I also think that, you know, something that maybe, I mean, you'll see this in even states of consciousness. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Dr. David Hawkins, but he was one of my teachers for a long time. We used to go down to Arizona and see him. Really beautiful, beautiful person. Some really brilliant work. But they were finding that at certain states of consciousness, things that would make the body weak. So, for example, they would expose them to lights, like really junk lighting. You know, they would expose them to fluorescent lights and people would go weak. And what they found was that after people had gotten to a certain point through doing like the Course in Miracles, all of a sudden those things that were physically making them weak no longer made them weak anymore. They actually had built a certain level of resilience just due to the spiritual shifts in consciousness that were taking place. So I think about that a lot of times, because a lot of these things, not that they're not there, but I do think in different states of consciousness we interact with stuff in a different way. It can be very individual.
Yeah. Well, consciousness supersedes. So that there are all of these things, right, that can impact our body. But if we can raise our frequency and have a level of consciousness that we can handle that and that we're not affected by it, that supersedes. So that is why, like, ultimately, I say is consciousness is the foundation, because if you can get to that point where you can hold your frequency regardless of what's happening around you, you can become immune. You know, and I'm not saying that this gives like justification for all mm-hmm. of the toxicity that we have on our planet, but it's empowering to me, because it tells me that there is a way for us to become immune to these things by connecting with ourselves and raising our consciousness. So that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I it always gives some solace, I think, for people. And also, like, just how amazing the human body is to adjust and to take care of itself. And also, like, the different layers that I think play into that can cause it to shut down and not. From your experience working with people, what are some of the, you know, as we come down, you were mentioning some of the stuff around emotions and the ACE study. So that was like the adverse childhood events study. And we did a whole series on trauma, and we talked to people like Dr. Pat Ogden and Dr. Stephen Porges and all of that group. And that study came up several times around that. What have you found in your practice as far as ways of working with some of that and assisting people in actually releasing some of this trauma? Because from my experience, it's how we've worked with trauma has really, I think, continually improves. I think less and less of the idea of having to constantly go in and rehash everything. Not that there might be a place sometimes for some of that and a certain level of intellectual understanding, but I know in some of the conversations we've had over the last while, you can work with trauma in a very different way and actually allow the grip of it to actually start to be released without having to go through sometimes years and years of work with it. What have you found just in regard to that?
Sure. Well, I actually find that people with cancer, when they go into traditional types of therapy where they are talking about it, and this can take a long time, it actually can make things worse. So they're in a state that they're fragile, they're already challenged, that actually traditional therapy is something that for most of my clients has not been the right fit. And so I have ended up turning to therapies that work on the subconscious, helping release the trauma from the subconscious. And one of the ones that I have found most effective is Psych-K. Mm-hmm. And this is one that Bruce Lipton talks about a lot, but it basically, there are three parts to Psych-K. The first is releasing past trauma from the subconscious. The second is reprogramming the subconscious with more powerful stories. And then the third is teaching emotional fluency by helping people get both hemispheres of the brain online and working together through positioning of the body. And for me, this one has been the most effective and the quickest, because what I'm looking with my clients, what I'm looking at is, how do I lighten you? How do I help you feel lighter? And I think about emotional trauma and then also just the emotions that we experience is like rocks that we put in a backpack. And, you know, many people are walking around with these backpacks full of boulders that they don't even notice. They've just gotten used to carrying it around all this time. And what Psych-K does is it starts to lighten their backpack, and I can see it. So they do a couple sessions and then it's like, oh, you know, and they can't articulate it other than to say, I feel lighter. And they're also then able to be with their emotions rather than stuffing them down, which cancer is a traumatic event in and of itself, right? And so not only are we helping people with releasing past trauma, but then also diminishing the traumatic impact of the experience of having cancer. And so for me, what I'm looking for people is to feel lighter. But sometimes some people don't even want to do a therapy like that. And I found that biofield tuning is another mm-hmm. way to access those memories that doesn't even require any talking. You know, it's like from Eileen McCusick, developing this way of tapping into the biofield and the memories in there and then helping to release that energetically. And I know that she's very clear that, like, you know, biofield tuning doesn't treat cancer. It just, you know, helps remove blocks, but those blocks are the things that are impeding the healing, right? And so this is what I'm helping people is just like, let's remove the blocks to help with the healing. So I had one client who he didn't want to do Psych-K. And so he did biofield tuning, and that was perfect for him. And so I think it is important to remember that it doesn't have to be done in any one specific way, but finding those techniques that help people lighten. And emotion code is another one that sometimes I use. I'm not a practitioner in any of these. I have some people that I refer to. And I think that's also important, is that the people who do this kind of work, making sure that you know their experience and the results that they've had. But when you have practitioners who can do these techniques in an impactful way, it is powerful. And you can see it after one or two sessions.
Yeah, that's what I've found too. It's a whole nother way of working with this body, this energetic body. And when you start to see the body more in this sort of field perspective, you know, or the different subtle bodies of health, it gives you another tool to sort of go in and work on those different layers without having to sort of go digging and go through all of the different stuff. You can kind of address it and then let the body see what happens. You know, sometimes you can have, well, you talked before about, I think like a near-death experience with Anita Murjani. It's like, sometimes you can have aspects of things like that without having to have a near-death experience, but you can have something shift where all of a sudden you genuinely see the world differently. And what maybe you've held on to for 20 years, a resentment or something, all of a sudden just lifts because you genuinely have a different relationship with it because something's been cleared in that field. And then it's not like they're trying so hard to let something go or to figure out. It's just not there in the same way. The grip's not there in the same way.
Well, and absolutely. And this is actually what my work is about, is helping people get those subtle shifts, and that sometimes it's one big shift and sometimes it's the little shifts that start to line them up. But I can tell an experience with one of my clients where she had breast cancer that had spread to her brain, and she did have radio surgery, which is a type of very focused radiation into the brain. But that type of treatment is designed to shrink the tumor, but it doesn't make it go away. And so actually, if you had that done and then did a MRI like 3 months later, you'd see that the tumor actually is bigger, but it's slightly less active. And then at 6 months, it's a little bit smaller, but it never goes away completely. But I had this client who did radio surgery, but we were working together on all of these pieces. And we also did a prolonged water fast. And for her, something just really incredible happened at the end of her water fast, where we did 17 days. The plan was, we were thinking we were going to do 30, but she had to travel, so I didn't want her traveling while she was doing that. So at the end of 17 days, she was really nervous about starting it. And when she finished it, she was like unstoppable. She was like, I don't know what that did to me, but it just made me realize I can do anything. And she said, and you know what? This cancer is no longer an issue for me. Like, she's like, I just know it's just gone. It's not an issue. And when she had her scan 3 months later, after that MRI, her brain was completely clear. Like, no sign that there had ever been a tumor there, which is basically a radical remission from what would be expected. You'd expected to have been there and been actually a little bit bigger, but literally the radiologist comments, there is nothing in that cavity. There is just a cavity left. And so that for me is like, it was such a clear example of when that shift happens, like when people can shift that perspective of what's possible, the whole body just lines up and follows that. So absolutely.
That's fascinating. Water fasting, I think, could be really intimidating for people, but I think but it's traditionally been something used for a long, long time. A lot of times that was it. And then when you start to look at the different pathways that kick into gear when you go through fasting, you know, like, I mean, different biochemical pathways like the NRF2, and all of a sudden you start to make more antioxidants and deal with inflammation better, and detoxification increases, all these things that kind of take place in the body. Outside of, I think, it's a, that kind of a long fast like that would have been a real spiritual practice for her too.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, you can't help but go through that. And I remember talking to one guest around that, and they were talking about fasting, and that part of why it's so important is it probably helps them also really get more deeply connected to that true self, because you're literally fasting from information. Like, you're just not putting anything else into the body. I mean, food is also just information. It's like just more processing the body has to do. So you kind of take out more and more of these external pieces of information, and it lets you just sink deeper into who you really are.
Absolutely. Well, and also like true water fasting, someone shouldn't be doing anything. So Lauren Lachman is the person who, you know, probably has the most experience on the planet. He's fasted over 10,000 people. And I've had conversations with him, and he doesn't let his clients get on their phones.
Yeah.
They literally are just like laying in a cot. And I think that's intimidating for people, like, what? I can't even. But, you know, you get so fatigued, and it is, it's like this, you're doing a fast of all information coming in, which just, you're just sitting with yourself, you know? So it's almost like going on a silent meditation retreat, but using, you know, food and stimuli as the like thing that you're fasting from. So yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Katie, what was your turning point? Where did you kind of go? Because I think when you had made your transition, you were really kind of at the head of your career in oncology, and then really decided to direct your energy into a whole nother focus. Was there anything that went on around that time that really, you know, inspired you to make a transition from where you were currently going?
Yeah. So I was a radiation oncologist for 20 years. I was also a healthcare leader. I ran end-to-end cancer services for a large healthcare organization. And in 2019, I started to have a feeling like something was wrong. Like I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, but it didn't make any sense. And so I had shared with my husband at the time, I said, I feel like maybe I'm not supposed to be practicing radiation oncology. And I also am an inventor and entrepreneur, so I had a business on the side, but it wasn't like, my business was more just serving women with breast cancer, not as like to make money, but more filling a need. And my husband was like, well, maybe something's wrong with you, because like, you, number one, you trained until you're 32. So what are you going to do if you don't do this, right? And then the second thing is like, you have everything someone else would want. You make lots of money, you have an impactful career, your patients love you, your colleagues love you. If you're not happy with having everything that someone else would want, maybe there's something wrong with you, and maybe you're never going to be happy. And so I internalized that for a little while, and I was like, I don't know, maybe something's wrong with me. And I was like trying to figure out like, what's wrong with me? And in 2020, I had been nominated for the National Medical Director for Cancer Care for one of the largest healthcare organizations in the US. And in that position, I would have been in charge of cancer care for 12 million Americans. And so I had spent like 6 months interviewing and all of this, and it had come down to two of us. And in the end, another woman got the position. And they had told me, they were like, you actually surprised us, but your ideas are a little bit forward for where the organization is right now. And I don't think we're ready to do the things that you want to do. And I wasn't even that out there yet. And so I was like, you know, I'm like, I trust it. I'm like, I know this happened for a reason. And I know that like, I'm supposed to build something, but I don't know, must not be within this system. And so 2 weeks later, I had an event that is called a shared death experience. And many people know what a near-death experience is, but a shared death experience is something that is less common. But when it happens, it most commonly happens to physicians, nurses, or emergency personnel who are at the scene when someone dies. And those people have a metaphysical experience very similar to a near-death experience, but they don't lose consciousness. And so that is what happened to me in the fall of 2020. And after that event, I knew, I was like, I've got to leave. And whatever I'm doing in Western medicine, this is not the way the body heals. But the hard part was, is that I didn't know what the answer was. The only clarity that I got was, this is not it. What you're doing is not it. And because I had spent so much time around death in my career, like it's one of the things that I really actually feel very comfortable being in the space with people as they're dying, and have participated in medical aid in dying, which is legal in Oregon. And because I've spent so much time around people who are dying, I know the things that they say, like, I wish I had been true to myself. I wish I had done what I knew I was supposed to do, but I listened to everyone else. Like, this is like consistent. I hear that over and over again. And also, I had had this experience of helping one of my patients use medical aid in dying and realizing after I left her house after her transition that when I leave here, I'm leaving alone, and that I'm going to be held responsible to myself, that whatever I choose to do, I'm going to be responsible. And I can't, when I leave, say, oh, it's my husband. He doesn't want me to leave because he thinks there's something wrong with me. I knew that I couldn't do that. So after that event happened and showed me that what I was doing was not right for me, like that I'm not saying that, you know, there's everyone in Western medicine is doing the wrong thing. I'm just saying I knew it wasn't right for me. I had to leave, but that required huge unraveling of my life. It resulted in a divorce because my husband wasn't willing to just jump into the unknown. Like I was like, I'm not doing another fellowship. I'm not jumping into some other training because frankly, right now, I'm not sure that the system is correct. Like, I'm not even sure what I learned was correct. And so I said, I need to take time off. I want to study on my own to understand what really creates health in the body. And my husband just wasn't on board for that adventure. So I got a divorce, left Western medicine, sold everything, you know, created like a nest egg so that I could have this transition period. But that event really shifted things for me.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That must have been really wild. You know, we did a series on life, death, and beyond, and we talked to a lot of different people that had gone through multiple near-death experiences and talked about and you see a lot of overlap and a lot of things that take place when people have an experience like that. And yours was a shared one, but I imagine in a similar line, you probably just came to a certain awareness that you couldn't just turn your back on anymore. Like it's a hard one, I feel like, because then it's when that happens, I think then the test is when you had that experience, then what do you do with it now? Do you go back, or do you actually implement it into your life? And that's where I think it gets scary for a lot of people. And I think that same message can be shared with people where even if you don't have an experience that's quite that profound, I think a lot of times I find people are often in a crossroads where they know there's often certain things that need to be addressed, or maybe certain decisions that they need to make, or certain life changes that they know are not in the best direction for them. And it's then trying to figure out, how do you start to actually implement that and address it into your world? So when you're working with people and they're sharing these things, as I imagine this stuff comes up, you know, or even as a practitioner or as a guide with people, you're probably picking up too on some of these things as you're hearing their story. A lot of times you hear, you know, an intake with someone, you spend enough time, you start to see and can bring awareness to some of that stuff for people. Where do you find, how do you support people in stepping through that process of making some of those changes? Because I do feel like particularly right now, and I think everything that's even taken place and whatnot, people are being shaken up in a lot of ways and looking at their life a little bit differently. And what really is meaningful for me? What maybe is not so helpful for me? And to support them in that transition process.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, the universe or God or our higher selves or whatever is always talking to us, right? And if you look at my story, like some part of me was talking to me in 2019, but then I was looking to external information to validate that or not. And obviously I was getting information that was not helpful from my ex-husband at the time. And so, you know, what I'm always encouraging my clients to do is like, what is coming up? Like, what is bothering you? Like, what is that little voice? And starting to get quiet enough just to listen. Like, you don't necessarily have to follow it, but let's start paying attention to like, what is giving you like an uneasy feeling inside of you? Because sometimes you don't know what it is that you're supposed to do, but your body is telling you what's not working. And so one of the things that I work with my clients on is starting to get quiet enough inside and tuning into their own internal signals. So we all have internal signals, and David Hawkins, you know, does the muscle testing, but even just inside, like people have a yes and a no. And if you can teach them how to tap into those internal signals that are always with them, they can start to use that. And I encourage them to use it in really simple, easy ways. You know, like number one, getting clear on your signals. What is your yes? What is your no? And then like when you want to go eat with a friend or whatever, like checking in with those signals, like something that's low, you know, cost. It's like, it's not a big deal. If you go to a restaurant, it's not the right choice, right? You're not making life or death decisions, but basically tuning into like, what is your knowing telling you? And then you, if you practice that and you start to get clear with it, then you can use it for the bigger things. Like, is this chemotherapy right for me? And your body is going to tell you. And so this is part of what I'm doing, is just helping people get quiet enough and clear enough to hear their internal signals and starting to tune in and just following, even if you just know it's a no, that's information. And also the other thing is information. We think that everything is linear, but information that's coming in may not make sense in the moment that it comes in. And so I tell them not to make it mean anything when information comes in, just note it. So that way later on, if something comes up and you're like, oh, that's what that was about, they can start to put the pieces together, but really starting to recognize that there's information always, we're always receiving information, and our body always has a response to that information, and starting to tune into it.
Mm-hmm. I think if anybody gets anything out of this conversation, I think that is probably one of the most important pieces, is to have that dialogue with ourselves and that awareness to just catch what we, it's like bring ourselves back into the equation. I feel like so often we're just on a bit of autopilot on what we're doing or what, you know, and sometimes even convincing ourselves just because out of habit that we're doing something that maybe actually isn't resonate with us anymore, but we still just keep doing it. And I like that you also take the pressure off. You don't have to change it right then, but just be aware of where you fall, you know, really, where do you really fall? I mean, we do this practice a lot too, and it's even when you're aware of it, it's still something to kind of do all the time. And then eventually I think we just start to feel it. You sort of know, and then you trust the feeling. I know a good practice people can do too is the heart math. You know, Greg Braden will talk about doing the heart math, which we've talked about many times before, but where you're literally slow things down and you get into that heart rate variability, coherent state, and then you ask yourself questions so that you get used to hearing what a yes is, what a no is, whatever that is for you, whether it's a feeling or a picture, whatever pops up. But, you know, just doing that practice will open the door to being able to have a more authentic dialogue with yourself. So beautiful. I love that, Katie. I think that's really, really valuable for people.
One thing I just want to say about that is that, you know, as a medically trained doctor and scientist, I had always just consumed information. So I had just stuffed my brain with as much information. Right. I was actually good at it, right? Like, we're trained to do that in medicine. And that's how I had always taken in information. And then if it made sense, then you know, follow it or whatever. And since this event, so since my shared death experience, and actually reading David Hawkins' work actually helped me understand this, that he said one of the reasons why people who have near-death experiences, and I think it's similar with a shared death experience, is that they're different, is they are bathed in these very high frequencies when you go outside the veil. And so when you come back, you're tuned in a slightly different way. And that's what happened for me, is that I was tuned, that my antenna, like you were talking about, is, you know, receiving information from our higher self in the field. My antenna started to sense what things were true. And so for me, and I don't think that there's like a truth with a capital T, but for me, and so now the way that I live my life, and this I think is interesting as a medically trained doctor, is that I don't consume information. I follow my intuition. And if something gets my antenna turned up, then I research it. And then I really dig in and like, do the facts make sense? Is this a science? Like, you know, starting to put it together that way. But it's a complete shift in the way that I live my life. And I will tell you, it's much more magical. And things show up when you don't have the answers, but you're following what resonates. Things that you can't even imagine start to enter into your life and awareness. So,
yeah, I love it, Katie. I think that's perfect. It's in many ways, we're taught the exact opposite. We've actually really taught to actually put the intellect up on a pedestal, I think, more than it probably needs to be. Not that it can't be a wonderful tool, but I think what you're saying too is it's like, doesn't have to be the starting place. You know, it's like, what actually resonates, and then allow that to imbue up into the intellect. And then that's a different process than an intellect down process. And I actually find, particularly now, it can be tricky because especially when you're in a world of mass amounts of endless information, the intellect can be tricked really easily. And I think it's very difficult. You know, Dr. Hawkins even said this too, that, you know, the intellect cannot discern truth from falsehood. But I think at a certain point, when we strengthen that connection, I think for us, we are at least following our own compass more directly. And then again, I would do the same thing. If I get excited about something, then I'm drawn and I want to investigate it more. And then I will read the different stuff and see. We had a conversation with a friend of ours that was a shaman, and he just kept it simple. And he said, just, you need to follow the shiny thing. Because it's like, with that thing that really grabs your attention and that you need to know more about, that's what you want to go. But so often we, oh, that's this or that. And I need to stick, you know, to this sort of course. And, you know, I get there's certain things in our world we, you know, practically have to do and whatnot, but I think that we've got very disconnected from that process. So if we can start there, see what happens in your life, especially if you're not maybe so happy or content with the way things currently are, then I would be open to exploring in another way, doing things in a different way, you know. And like you said, when that happens, that's usually where the magic opens up. And also you'll see synchronicities will open up. Randomly, you'll start to see things, or people will pop in or something. It actually makes life a lot more fun than trying to go through your to-do list, you know, straightforward without any other give in it.
Yeah. Well, and can I share a little story? So, yeah. So,
this comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic.
Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.